The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. We're going to be talking tonight with Father Kenneth Torres. We're going to be talking about the introduction to the demonic, his new book that he has written. But we have Adam in the house also tonight. Adam is back over at the station. And Adam, what's it like over there is weather-wise? Because we have some weather coming through.
Yeah, we've had some thunder and lightning here in EP. And according to the radar, it's going to be moving out soon. We have some light rain chances, but it looks like any severity might just be from some wind coming up. But I don't think we're going to get anything fun when it comes to thunderstorms. I consider it fun. I'm sorry. I do consider that fun.
I was going to say nothing that I can get into my Ford Explorer and start chasing is what you're saying.
I will say when that movie Twister came out when I was a teenager, that was horrible for me and my buddy Dave because we went to try to storm chase in an old Chrysler LeBaron. That didn't turn out too well. But ever since then, I've been fascinated by storms. And this one, lightning chances, please don't take shelter under trees if you are outside. Try to get indoors because it is some nasty lightning, but not a whole lot's going to form out of it.
No. Did I ever tell you I storm chase?
No, you didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
I do. I go out, and obviously this year there hasn't been any opportunity to do so because there's been really no storms in our area. But, you know, I did a lot of traveling from Minnesota to Iowa to Nebraska over the last year. So, I mean, that's the prime location for all of that.
Oh, yeah.
No,
you run into anything fun?
Absolutely not. Nope. It was all just nothing really happened. But, you know, what can you do, right? I mean, that's just how it goes.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
It's how the cookie crumbles. The weather cookie crumbles that way. It's a great show. I see that there's people showing up into the comments and stuff. And if you have any questions tonight, make sure that you're ready for them. Because tonight we're going to have on the show, we're going to have on Father Kenneth Torres. An exorcist is constantly battling the demonic. The effects of demonic possession and exorcism on trained clergy can be potent and damaging, both physically and mentally. Father Kenneth has experienced firsthand the effects of demonic possession on himself and others. He has witnessed firsthand how the power of the wicked can be overwhelming and cause tremendous fear, confusion, and despair. Father Kenneth has made it his mission to help those struggling with demonic possession by using his training and knowledge to help them overcome their fears and ultimately be delivered from the wicked. Father Kenneth also strives to educate the church and the public on the dangers of demonic possession and how to protect against it. He advocates for the safety of those vulnerable to demonic possession and gives them hope that they can still be delivered from the wicked. He is also the Spanish subdivision director for the Warren Legacy Foundation for Paranormal Research, founded by the late Lorraine Warren and her grandson, Chris McKinnell, who we have had on the show before. And I would just like to welcome Father Ken, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Hey, Greg, how are you doing? Good evening. Thank you for having me on. It's a privilege and honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Likewise, it's a very much a privilege to have you on. And I'd like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. If you'd like to ask Father Ken a question tonight, you can call in 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Email us a comment or a question over at comment@ghostboxradio.com. And we are live on AM 950 radio, but we're also streaming video on the following Facebook pages. You can watch us on AM 950 radio, Things Network, and Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. You can go to all those pages, make sure that you support them and like them, please. And also share this out to anyone you want. And anyone in the comments, if you have questions for Father Ken tonight, talking about the demonic or anything else that's on your mind, he said that he'd give it a shot to answer. So please, please do so. Now, you have just come out with your book, Introduction to the Demonic. What is that? What is the purpose of this book?
So the Introduction to the Demonic is a very, very, very basic understanding and guide to Christian demonology and what possession and exorcism is. There are over 30,000 religions in the world, and everyone's truth is subjective to them. So I'm only speaking on behalf of my faith, my understanding, and what I know. More importantly, that book, I made it for paranormal investigators. Mm-hmm. I made it small enough to where you can actually have it in your go bag. If you come across a situation, if you need some general knowledge, boom, open up the book. I didn't even put a table of contents in there because I didn't want to waste anybody's time. I just want you to open up that book, look through it, highlight the pages that you need, and boom, there you go. It's a very basic introduction to demonic possession, exorcism, some theology, but more importantly, I would say the fundamentals of how to understand where demonic possession comes from, how it starts, and what attributes these negative entities are looking for in an individual.
You know, and that was the thing that I found very interesting when you had sent me the book, it was like 40 some pages, and I'm like, yeah. no offense, but my first thought was, is this it? But yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because people are not going to, you know, in this field that we're in, the paranormal field, mm-hmm. people don't want to, it feels like, and maybe I'm being very dismissive of them, but it feels like they're trying to get to the end result a lot quicker than they really should.
Yeah. And so the rough draft was actually 44 copies, but on the book, it actually is 66 pages. And 66 pages.
Okay. I got the rough draft. Okay.
And 66 pages, I'm actually making fun of the devil. You
know? That's
yeah. you know, you got to have a little humor in there, you know, and that's one thing for me too. You know, I like to have humor. You know, I'm not always battling demons. You know, that's the thing. There's a misconception. You know, every day we're in a spiritual battle. And to sit here and say that I'm always conducting an exorcism every day, that is a lie. That is a fallacy because exorcisms are highly rare. They rarely ever happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with this guidebook, I also want people to understand that if you can understand and identify what some of these things are and shed some light, then it's not as scary as what Hollywood portrays it to be. You know, ultimately you have the power, you have the authority, but you also got to put in the work yourself, you know, according to whatever faith you believe in. You know, you've got to have a good spiritual life. You've got to be grounded. You've got to be protected. You've got to stay mental. You got to stay healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If you cover those bases right there, then you're less likely to be afflicted or attacked or harassed by these evil energies or demons.
Sure. And I think that's a very important point that, you know, if people are looking at this book and it's like, well, it's Father Ken Torres, Catholic. Yeah. I'm not Catholic. But everything you just said does not apply to one religion. That's just mm-hmm. a general well-being.
Yes. Yes. Because here's the thing. Even if you don't believe in the devil and demons, guess what? They believe in you.
Yeah, they sure do.
and if you're ignorant to the fact, and if you're ignorant and you think that you can't get attacked, I mean, then I would say reconsider and reevaluate what you're thinking, because it's been my experience. And I've only done one full exorcism with Chris McKinnell. I did a spiritual deliverance mm-hmm. Last year. And then this year we're dealing with another case. So I've only really done, honestly, one exorcism. So I'm not going to come in here and say, well, I've done hundreds, because they're rare. In order to do hundreds of these exorcisms, you would have to have been Father Gabriel Amorth, Father Vincent Lampert, you know, people that have been in ministry for 20, 30 plus years. Yeah. So, you know, I've been an independent Catholic priest for a little over 3 years now. I've been in ministry my whole life as a Christian. But when I went to seminary school, I decided, you know what? Catholicism is what I love. I love the theology. It doesn't change. And so I pursued that. So I want to get that out the way real quick. I don't want to give anybody, I don't want to mislead anybody, and I don't want them to think, oh, I've conducted thousands of exorcisms.
No.
Haven't. And I don't know any exorcist, alive or dead, that has conducted thousands of exorcisms.
I feel like that makes it more real when you really look at the numbers. Why don't we do this, Father Ken? Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Father Kenneth Torres. We're talking about demonology plus his book, Introduction to the Demonic. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and thank you very much for joining me. We're talking today with Father Kenneth Torres. We're talking about the demonic, as well as talking about his new book that just came out, Introduction to the Demonic. And where we were just like leaving off is talking about the number of exorcisms that you performed. And I was just saying, Father Ken, that I feel like that when you're not saying that you have a ton of exorcisms, I mean, that to me just seems more real. And I think maybe that comes down to the fact that the majority of the general public, I don't think, really understand how rare demonic possession really is. Or even demons, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, demonic possession is highly rare. I was looking at a Vatican study, and I think that the Vatican has reported within the past 20 years, only 0.1-0.3% of demonic possession across the United States and the world. I mean, so that's still significantly a small number, but there's a lot of victims, you know, people who are afflicted. But when you break down those numbers, it's still a smaller number in portion. The issue that we have is we have all these TV shows that are entertaining, and there's one specific that I'm not going to name that I think maybe isn't as accurate as what people think to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of clergy, and I say that loosely. We have a lot of clergy that, God bless their heart, they're in it to help people. They really want to do their best. Now, they have a love and a passion for the ministry, but they lack formal training. You know, they're not really clergy. They haven't gone to seminary school. Like for me, I have a master's in pastoral counseling. So that means that I'm a chaplain. On my day-to-day, I'm a chaplain. I'm not a licensed mental health specialist, but I refer people to them. So I can provide chaplaincy to people, and I can see and I can gauge where they're at spiritually, mentally, and physically. But it is highly rare. It is highly rare. So when I say these things, and I lost my train of thoughts, I'm looping back to the idea that we also have to take a lot of things into consideration before even considering something demonic.
Right. And that's kind of the purpose of the book, at least for the people who you want to have it as kind of a manual, that read this, take a look at this before you start just saying when you hear a voice or something, oh, it's demons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, there are stages, you know, there's similarities between demonic possession and mental illness, like noticeable changes in behavior, unexplained physical ailments, you know, unexplained emotional disturbances, depression and anxiety, which, OK, you know, that can correlate to demonic possession. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we get the person who is claiming these things to get a full psychological and medical evaluation. And we also need supporting evidence. You know, we need to see that there is something of supernatural happening, you know, because a lot of people, they can be afflicted by an energy. You know, it can be oppression. Sometimes oppression does not lead to demonic possession. Possession is a fully violent takeover of yourself. You surrender your spirit and your soul to that negative entity. So if we can, as professionals and clergy, be there at the beginning stages and help people get back on the path of their spirituality and finding their faith. And once they start becoming stronger again, then that energy that's attacking them or afflicting them, you know, it'll fight a little bit, but it's going to ultimately go away and leave you alone because it's looking for someone who is weak in nature. Typically speaking, it's been my experience that people who come under some sort of possession, oppression, have suffered physical trauma, sexual trauma, a lot of bad things have happened. There's usually an underlying trauma that is untreated that can potentially lead into this manifestation oppression, you know, and ultimately possession.
So we got a call and she doesn't want to come on the air, which I understand. And the question that she has is, I think it's extremely important. I would like to get your take on it. She said that she likes the show, but is scared the program topic might be harmful to her and others because talking about it can bring it on, is what she was taught in when she was younger. She wants to know if asking or talking about this type of topic will hurt her.
No, it will not hurt you. It will not hurt you. It don't. You have all the strength and you have all the power. So we are basically having a general academia discussion. It's no different than going to church and hearing a sermon. And I feel like sometimes this is what lacks in a lot of the churches, is that they're afraid to talk about spiritual warfare. And just because we talk about spiritual warfare and these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get attacked or these things are going to come and attack you unless you willingly invite it in. But that's where your faith comes in. Yeah. You know, the truth is that we're always in a spiritual battle, whether you see it or not. There's always negative energies, these entities, these demonic entities, so to speak, whatever you want to call them, they're always around us. They're on a realm that we can't see, but they're always keeping an eye out on us, and they have an intellect. So you just maintain your faith. And so talking about these things and asking these questions, it's not going to affect it anyway. Nothing's going to come out through the screen and possess you unless you willingly, openly invite these things through rituals and seances.
Now, I just want to say also thank you to the woman who called in. I think it is a fantastic question.
It's a wonderful question.
And you know, I guess there, knowledge is power, right? To be able to hear, because I think putting a blinder up around this subject, theoretically, even though we just got done saying it's very rare anyway, but theoretically, it that makes things easier for any type of entity, whether it's demonic or just dark or whatever else. Yeah.
What we don't do is I will never address or say an entity's name over the air. I'll never do that. As exorcists, we are trained to never, never, ever talk about the entity's name, because when you give the entity's name, you're giving it power.
Yeah.
And so they're not confined to our time and space continuum. So the mere fact of me saying the word may not have any effect on you or I, but if we have a person on the other end of the line that's actually suffering or is going through some sort of supernatural phenomena that may be oppressive in nature, then if I say that name and that individual repeats what I just said, now guess what? You just open your door for something to come in.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I obviously the rule, the name of the game here is don't listen to what the shows or the movies are doing, because you listen, like you look at like The Nun from the Conjuring franchise, and they actually said saying the name is able to get rid of it, you know, but that's not the case.
So that is the case when you're doing the exorcism ritual.
When you're doing the exorcism, okay.
Yes. But, you know, in the beginning stages and all that stuff, or even in general, they don't ever want to give anything power. And let's dull it down a little bit. Let's not even talk about the demonic. We're talking about regular average spirits. No, simple hauntings, those type of things. You know, if you have some sort of activity in your house that's happening and you start addressing this thing and you start feeding it your energy, then now it has your attention and vice versa. And now you're giving it power and you're going to give it dominion, and it's going to be able to, you know, affect you more. And it's not necessarily in a bad way, but the way they communicate with us, they can draw your energy and they can make you tired and they can make you sick.
Yeah. It is very interesting, and there's been a lot of we're doing comments over on our chats in on our Facebook pages, and you know, like Sam says that it seems that they know certain facts to come before we actually do.
That is correct. So, Damon, these entities do have superior intellect, so they have been tasked. And they have been made with certain tasks. So when these entities are created and they are made, they have a specific job and a specific task. They are well aware of science. They have a superior intellect than we do. And they can actually plan ahead of time and they can cause things to happen. So yes, I would agree with what Sam Thomas has said. They have a superior intellect and they can cause a series and chains of events, and they do know things. it's not that they know the future, but they can manipulate certain things in order to allow things to happen in order for a person to become afflicted.
Wow. Why don't we do this, Father? Let's take our second break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Father Ken Torres as we talk about the demonic and also his new book, Introduction to the Demonic. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us. And before we get back to Father Ken, I just want to remind folks that if you haven't thought already, if you're in the Twin Cities area, we're doing our event tomorrow over at the historic Grant House in Rush City, Minnesota. This is going to be quite the event. We have a full plethora of paranormal evidence that we're presenting that took place over 18 minutes. But as I've been saying all week, what's really incredible about this information is that it's all related to one person that we actually found documentation about. You get EVPs, you're going to get spirit box knocking on the walls, you're going to get disembodied voices, shadow figures, all of it. And it's pretty incredible. We're presenting tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. The cost to get into the presentation is $10. And I just want to remind folks that all of our proceeds for that event is going to go to help our friend John Yost, who was on our show back in April talking about his film Alien Abduction Answers, as well as his own personal alien abduction story. John, unfortunately, has pancreatic cancer. He needs help. He needs financial help. He's doing some very special treatments in Arizona, and he lives in the East Coast. It's pretty important to help him. So we're going to be able to put all of our money that we make, we're going to give it to him, and we're going to also ask anyone who shows up if they can donate a little bit more. We'd greatly appreciate it. John, you're with us. You know, we're going to take care of you the best we can. And up on the screen right now, it's the QR code. If you want to donate, you're more than welcome to do so. Also, if for those of you who are listening on the radio, there's a GoFundMe for John Yost, JohnYost. Thank you for allowing me to put that out there for folks. And also, there is a dinner that if you want to buy that's extra to the presentation. It's $17.99 to get the dinner, but it's really good. It's going to be sliders. It's going to be pulled pork sliders. That opens at 5:30. So this is all at the Grant House in Rush City. Rush City is beautiful. The Grant House is beautiful. So please consider coming out if you don't have anything else to do tomorrow. It's going to be well worth your time. Father Ken, we were talking about all sorts of things. And I just once again, I think I really look at that phone call that we didn't take it on the air, but that came through. I really thought that it was very brave because she's respecting what it is, not saying that like she likes it, but she's respecting what it is, but she wants to understand more. And I respect that.
I commend the viewer or the caller, because it takes a lot of guts to do that. I mean, this stuff can be really scary. You know, this stuff can be really scary. And it's, I think a lot of it is also misunderstood, but the fact remains is that, you know, spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, you know, demonic possession, there's nothing pretty about it. Now, I feel like Hollywood has glamorized this vocation. Mm-hmm. And I call it a vocation because it's a calling. You know, I have my regular everyday duties as a chaplain. You know, I do counseling, all that. And then when I get a case in, I have a team. And it also, too, depends where, because I am the prior general with the Solomonic Order of St. Michael the Archangel. That is my religious order. And so we do things from a religious perspective. Contrary to the other hand, I am with the Warren Legacy Foundation, too. We do things in a different manner, scientific. We don't ever use a D word in the foundation.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love it because we give it power. And not only that, though, people use that word like candy. Everything is demonic in nature. And it's just sickening because it paints a really bad picture. And not only that, though, by doing that, you're glamorizing these entities, and unbeknownst to people, you're actually giving it more power, because now there's a lure and they know that people fear them. But in reality, we have authority over them. The Bible doesn't give us explicit, authority in the sense to where it says, yeah, you can be an exorcist or whatever. But we see from examples of Mark and James and Luke where Jesus casted out the demons, and with the Holy Spirit, you know, we can too. But just because you can cast out a demon doesn't mean you should. Look at the Pharisees in the Bible. The Pharisees in the Bible went to a demon-possessed man, and that man said, John, I know who he is, but you, I don't know. And that man ravaged those Pharisees or those other people who were going to cast them out. Why? Because they didn't have spiritual authority. Just because you believe in something at the same time doesn't necessarily mean you have the authority to do it. And that's the thing that we encounter amongst a lot of followers as well. They believe in these things, and they say, well, if the Bible says this, I'm taught to do this, that's fine. But when they try to apply it, it doesn't work because they're not under a state of grace. Mm-hmm. They have no training, and they have no spiritual authority. These energies, they operate off of spiritual hierarchy. So they know whether or not you have authority behind you. And if you don't, and you try to exercise or do one of these rituals, they can kill you. They can also kill the afflicted.
I worry a lot, actually, because I think you bring up a very good point. And this isn't a religious-based response I have. It's not like it's this applies to one religion. But when I see what you said, people who suddenly they for whatever reason they think that they're a demonologist and that they are just they're going ahead and doing whatever they please because they're whatever and however that they got this training, if even training at all, I worry about that because it seems very prevalent. And I don't want to blame everything on the TV shows, but I really feel like that's pushed that envelope forward more than anything.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a couple of demonologists that I know that are good people. One of them is Bill Slevin. You know, I love Bill Slevin. He's really respectful. He's smart, knowledgeable. There's John Salerna and a couple of other people that I would say that are reputable demonologists. But at the same time, just because you're studying demonology does not mean that you have the authority and that you are training to be an exorcist. Exorcism training is different. I am still in myself. I am still in the early stages of my career, and I still have a counterpart, Archbishop Christian Piedrahita. He's part of our international order. He's in Colombia. He's been in ministry for over 15 years, and every day I learn from him as well. So this training is constant. It's not like, well, you do one time and that's it. You know, it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's always training. It's always reaching out to other clergy, getting their opinions, getting their ideas. Hey, this is what I've got. What do you think we should do? How do we proceed with this? Same thing with the foundation. Now, if there's something that's darker and negative in nature, as I mentioned, we don't use the D word, but we'll bring it up to Chris McKinnell. We'll bring it up to Joe Franke, you know, because they've got extensive experience. And although I'm clergy, I still have a long way to go. I still need to gain more experience. So if it's something that is within, that is not within my abilities, the ethical thing for me to do is pass it over to someone else. And I will always do that. My clients and people who are afflicted are number one, always number one. Yep. And so I have a problem when you have these clergy who don't have enough experience and they're like, well, I've done 500 exorcisms. Really? You probably destroyed a family and not even realized it. You probably made a person go over the edge because you failed to properly conduct an evaluation and an assessment. So yeah, TV and all of these online training courses to become a demonologist, you know, it's good for general knowledge, but it is a completely different thing. So like I tell people, you can read, you can study medicine, but just because you study a medicine book, does that make you a doctor?
It's true.
Yep.
No, it's very true. I mean, you could also understand how to read music, but it doesn't mean that you can play every instrument either.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you have the basic principles and theory. And even then with demonology is traditionally a theological course. It is a course in theology that the church teaches. And it's identification characteristics of these entities and how they operate, sometimes their origin, what they look like, how they present themselves, how they manifest themselves, now what their intellect is. But at the same time, too, you know, when you're studying to be clergy, you also have to realize that just because you understand what these things are, it's a different element, because now you're dealing with the person that's afflicted. That person that's afflicted has to be your number one priority, and you have to focus on that individual. A lot of fake book clergy say, well, you got to focus on the demon. No. You have to focus on the person that's being afflicted. That's the most important thing.
952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. We're having our conversation with Father Kenth Torres. We're talking about his book, The Introduction to Demonic, as well as we're talking theory. We're talking, it's a great conversation. And anyone, we have another segment after we get done with this one. So anyone who has questions, feel free to call in. But, you know, I just find I'm enjoying this conversation, because I think it's a very honest one. And I think it's one that really helps break down what is really happening, because I do find it so often that, you know, people are just wanting to jump to demons, and we're trained that way, I think, really. Yeah. And that's even before the boom of the paranormal. I mean, it goes back to The Exorcist and goes back, yeah. You know, it's just, that's just how it works, I think.
Yeah. Pop culture has played a significant impact, and it has really shaped, you know, our views, or the general public's view, on what demons are. So The Exorcist, you know, The Omen. So pop culture has had a significant influence in how we view these things. But a lot of that is just entertainment. It is true that some of those things, those special effects, those things that happen in the movies can possibly happen, but it's rare as well. I mean, at the end of the day, you're watching a person suffer. Yeah. You're watching a family suffer. The event is traumatic. Your life changes drastically. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't go to work. Screeching sounds in your head all the time. All these voices bothering you. You can't focus. You're not bathing. You know, then it's affecting your family as well. You have these outward manifestations, things exploding, things appearing, reappearing, sulfuric smell, a constant torture, a constant mind game being played with you. And I don't understand why people want to be involved with that.
Right. I think people generally, I mean, this is a very general statement. I think so many people underestimate what the true power is. You know, I think people, and especially some paranormal investigators, for some reason, when they decide they're paranormal investigator, that they feel like that they can go into a room and just scream in the air, and that they could be, you know, badasses. But the thing is, it's like, once it afflicts you, we're not even talking dark, let's just talk about attachments. Yes. You know, it's like when that stuff happens, this is a shift, and you're gonna feel it.
Yeah. I mean, attachments are another thing too. And we're not talking about demons. We're talking about just general attachments. You know, if you can't deal with an attachment yourself, you know what I mean? And you're trying to jump to an inhuman energy that has never walked the earth, you're in a world of hurt. You have to be able to start from the basics. You have to crawl before you can walk. And you have to be able to identify and assess properly before you make any assumption of what it is. Now, you can say it's an attachment or whatever, but how do we not know it's a person manifesting psychic abilities that they've never known they had? You know, well, there's poltergeist activity. How do you not know that person has telekinesis or abilities, or is going through a significant event in their life and they're causing that, you know, supernatural activity themselves? So it's not just attachments and demons. You have to look at the sola fide, the same person, the person itself.
Very well said. Why don't we do this? Let's take our last break. When we come back, we'll finish our conversation with Father Kenth Torres. We're talking about demonology, demonic entities, all sorts of things. We want to take your calls, your questions, everything else. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio as we just kind of ease into the weekend. We're going to just talk about some paranormal news, some listener feedback. We had the question of the week. We got a lot of answers on that. If you have any feedback or have anything that you want to say, send me a note. Go to comment at ghostboxradio.com. Leave an email, leave a message for me, and we'll read it on the air. and we'll just kind of ease into it. What I like to say is, before you start chasing spirits or drinking them on the weekend, just give me an hour of your time, and we'll ease into the weekend together. We are finishing our conversation with Father Kenneth Torres. We are talking about Introduction to the Demonic. His book is available on Amazon, and you can go there now and get it. And I'm also putting it, I started a new page on my ghostboxradio.com website. It's called the Ghostbox Book Club. And every author I have on, I put their book, their description, and the link to the book on there. So it's easy for listeners, if they're like, I remember that book about the demonic, but I'm not quite sure which one it is. They can go to that page and find that book, and also read, maybe see another book that they didn't expect to have on there. So it's check it out, ghostboxradio.com. It's called the Ghostbox Book Club. Father Ken, can we talk a little bit about the Warren Legacy Foundation?
Yeah. So I am a part of the Warren Legacy Foundation. I am one of the Spanish division directors. And the Warren Legacy Foundation was created in 2014 by the late Lorraine Warren and her grandson, Chris McKinnell. And basically, our job is to assist people with their supernatural needs. We are here to educate the public. We are here to teach. We are here to also empower our psychics. But not only that, we want to prepare and train the new future generation investigators. And so that's who we are. We have over 70 members, professional members worldwide. We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts. We all have different theologies, different beliefs. Some are scientists. We have doctors. We have psychologists. Among all, we've got some of the best professionals in the world. Our organization, I love it because we are meticulous. We are strict. We just don't let anybody in. We pride ourselves on that because we are trying to set a standard for the paranormal field. There are other groups out there that are great. Don't get me wrong. And they're wonderful. They do the same thing we do. And that's the lasting impression that we want to have on people. We want to make sure that we educate the public properly, and we help people understand that the supernatural doesn't have to be so scary. This, what I'm talking about right now, is a small snippet of the supernatural that you barely come across. We're still not talking about quantum physics. We're not talking about transdimensional travel. We're not talking about reincarnation, past life regression. There's so many aspects to the supernatural that I think people don't understand. And the Warren Legacy Foundation is really good, at getting those topics out there.
Absolutely. And as somebody, I am also a member of the Warren Legacy Foundation. And the thing that is important about that is that it, like you said, it's meticulous. I've been a part of a couple of investigations. I haven't been able to get very deep into it. But the thing is that the way that they go about it is very different. It's a very different sort of way, and it's very, very, what I love about it, one of the things I love about it the most, if it doesn't seem to be supernatural in nature, that's not the end of the Warren Legacy Foundation's involvement. It's how do we help? How do we finish? How do we close that loop to finish the client needs? So that if it's something else to do with something else, whether it's mental or whatever else, that they're not just left high and dry.
That's true. We help everyone regardless whether or not it's supernatural. We'd rather it not be supernatural, because then now we have the opportunity to help an individual who may have gone years with an untreated and undiagnosed mental illness. And that could have been a catalyst, and we could potentially have what very well saved their life, get them on the proper medication, seek treatment. Or a person dealing with an undiagnosed, untreated physical ailment, thinking that it's supernatural, but with our assessments, we're like, hey, let's get you checked out first. Let's get you an evaluation and see what the doctor says. They come back. Oh, I've got this. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. Mental illness, physical ailments don't negate the supernatural, but it's the very first step in deciding what our treatment plan is going to be for you in the future.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's not difficult to get, it's not impossible to get into the Warren Legacy Foundation, but there are interviews. There are just making sure that the chemistry is right, and that the people that they're bringing in are able to help and provide in some way to help keep the foundation going. And that's not unreasonable at all.
It's not. I mean, 18, well, we say 18 years old, but, you know, the truth is we want you to have experience, at least 5+ years experience. And you've got to be able to show that experience on your application.
Yeah.
You know, even if you've never done a residential investigation, at least tell us what cases you've worked on. You don't have to go into the specifics of the client name. How'd you work that case? What was the case about? And what was the resolution? That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for right or wrong answers, so to speak. We're looking at your thought process. We're looking at your logic. And we're looking at how you deal with these situations and how you've helped out a family or an abandoned place. Oh, also, too, in the foundation, we also help the deceased. We're here to help the living and the deceased.
Yep. That's very important. That's a very important part of it. And I think that's something that does get kind of left behind sometimes when we talk about paranormal investigations, that there are, you know, two pieces to it, the living and those who have passed. You know, you go into a location, it doesn't mean that you're trying to expel a spirit. It's you're kind of a spirit negotiator.
Yeah. I mean, and human spirits are a lot harder to get rid of than inhuman spirits because they have free will.
Yep.
So if they were stubborn in life, they're going to be stubborn in death. And sometimes, too, these entities, you know, they're not ready to cross over for whatever reason. And it's our job to help at least come to a compromise with them or help them cross over peacefully. Sometimes there's unfinished business. Sometimes they're like, well, you moved into my house. This is my favorite house. You know, you're not watering my plants. You're not doing this. And these spirits can be picky. So if we can help them understand that they're no longer in the living world, and that their home, their place is under the care of a wonderful family, and that they can be at peace, cross over. That's a win right there.
Absolutely. And Warren Legacy Foundation, if you go to the website, the website that I have, I'm assuming this is the right one, warrenlegacyfoundation.com.
Yeah, or warrenfiles.com.
Warrenfiles.com. And also on Facebook, you can find Warren Legacy Foundation as well, because we're talking about people if they want to join in, but also people who need help.
Yeah,
you know, that you can reach out, and it's a well organized organization, I guess you could say, that that will be able to systematically help people no matter where they are located around the world.
Yeah, I mean, we are a well oiled machine, and we have members all over the world, and we're broken down into different regions, different countries. So more than likely, you know, we'll have some, well, we're always going to help you. You know, we may not be able to get there physically, but I've noticed, and it's been my experience, that 95% of the time we don't have to do a home visit because we've helped you with the solution over the video call. Because a lot of it is just misunderstanding, and a lot of it is just, well, psychosomatics. I had this one team come in and tell me one thing, and that's not true. Okay, now we have to break down that narrative. It's not as bad as you think it is.
No. Father Kenneth Torres, who just came out with the book, Introduction to the Demonic. It's available on Amazon, and definitely go check it out. Father Ken, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a blast.
Thank you very much. Join me tomorrow. We're going to do Casual Friday. We're just going to take it easy, talk about some paranormal news, and maybe some listener stuff as well. We'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Have a great night, everybody.